you want to live in harmony with all the people that are making it so big in the business community. Oh, what were they thinking of? Salamander talking up a chameleon. It's a one in a million. Oh, what were they thinking of? They took me out to the fringe. Now I'm not feeling so unhinged. I want to be a nature boy again.
Good morning and welcome to episode 247 of Taking Charge Podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Lots of basketball to talk about, loads of different leagues slowly but surely coming to a close, reaching their climaxes in the finals. And of course, the NBA finals are going on and everything else. So before we talk, before we get into that, let's let you know how you can get in contact with the show. You can reach me on Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The email address is heinnews@gmx.de. You can go to heinnews.com. There's the Facebook group. Just put in the search bar, Taking the Charge Podcast, and you could join us there. You can rate and review the show on iTunes. You can go to patreon.com and support the show, patreon.com/takingthecharge. Support the show and become a patron and maybe even get some swag. So, yes, that's all the avenues that you can reach me. Tons of ways to talk to the show. Come on. Okay. Thanks. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the talk last week with Chris Ertz about the NBA. I know had a good time talking to him. 2-0. It's not really a surprise that they won the first two games at home. They're a really strong team at home. You know, they are super motivated to beat the Cavaliers this time, this being the Warriors. And you know, Durant is, you know, back in the finals, and so it's not really a surprise. If you're a Cleveland fan, I think you're a little bit anxious that that Thompson heated up a little bit in the second game. You know, you played a lot better. The Cavs played a lot better in the second game than the first game. Still really only the three guys for Cleveland. Nobody else has really done much, and I think that's going to be a key if they do come back and get into this series. It's not over. All they have to do is win Thursday night. Or I guess it's Wednesday night. Is it Wednesday night or is it Thursday night? I'm trying to find out when I have to wake up in the morning. tonight. So Wednesday night into Thursday morning. All they have to do is win then. And then they're right back in it, you know, hold court in game four. Then they're deadlocked at 2-2. I'm not wavering yet. And I feel totally comfortable with my pick. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, obviously, if the Warriors win. Come on, it is the Warriors. I know I talked a little bit about this last week with Chris, and they just... I'm not happy really about either team. I know that, you know, I don't get excited at all. I don't get like with what the Warriors do. Obviously great players, you know, Durant clearly right now is the MVP of the finals, but you know, Curry stopping and taking those, you know, 27, 28, 29 foot jumpers, you know, threes, and you know, that's, hey, it's amazing, and you know, you have to respect him for it, but you know, if I was I don't know if I could coach him. I don't know how I would respond to the things he does, but you know, hey, he's been, you know, he's reached the final last 2 years, MVP and whatnot, but I still don't know how I would react to having him as a player. Again, fantastic player. Don't think I'm saying anything other than that, but it's just, I just think, you know, and I talked about this last week. I don't want to go too much into it because I've talked about it in the past as well, the showboating and everything else. You know, Durant doesn't have that, which I enjoy, which I'm happy about. And obviously Klay Thompson, you know, Klay is really the only guy that I, you know, I'm kind of sympathetic for, but, you know, anyhow. So 2-0 for the Warriors. Cavaliers find themselves in a hole, but not a hole they probably expected not to be in. So, you know, play harder defense, and I know it's easier to said than done against that team, but play, you know, figure out the ways to slow these guys down, slow the tempo down a little bit. Again, I know that's really hard, you know, when, you know, you get back and you set up, you know, you set up basically at the 3-point line, and Curry comes and stops and from 27 and nails a three. It's kind of hard, you know, even when you're when you come back on transition defense. I know all this, but if you can figure out your ways to get them back to slow them down a little bit, you know, and maybe get one guy, at least one guy, to maybe pick it up a little bit offensively, you know, you're a lot better. But again, like I said, you know, you have to be happy that you played better in the second game, but you just didn't get it done. You know, maybe with the home court fans, everything else, things are a little bit better. So, yeah, I guess, let's see if I can find this out. So game four is Friday to Saturday. And then game five is Monday to Tuesday, is what it looks like. So should have a – could be done if it's a 4-1, a sweep or 4-1 by next time we talk. All right, so NBA done. The couple of just kind of rundown for some of those who might not be keeping track of things over here in Europe. Germany is in the finals of their playoffs, and you have Brose Bamberg, the reigning champions, going against EVA Oldenburg Baskets, who were the fifth place team, took down Medi Bayreuth, and then took down the regular season champions, Ratio Farm Ulm, in five games. Pretty thrilling series, and are now facing a real tough test with Brose Bamberg, and Bamberg won the first game pretty handily, but I can imagine that Oldenburg was pretty tired after the semifinal series against Ulm. You know, game two is tonight, Wednesday, in Oldenburg. If they don't win it tonight, then I would say it's going to be a sweep. So that's the situation here in Germany. France, we're still looking to get to the finals. Asvel and Strasbourg, who finished eighth and fourth in the regular season, are tied at two in the five-game semifinals. And on the other side is second place Chalon. Asvel took down the regular season champions Monaco. Chalon was second. They're up 2-1 against Paris Le Volley, who were 6-2-1. So still looking for the finalists in there. The best of five series in Greece is 2-1 right now in favor of Olympiakos. So obviously that's going to be a battle. I love that they play for third and fourth place as well. That has Aras and Ike. As you would expect in this series, Olympiakos won by 5 points in game one. At home, Panathinaikos won game two at home by 4 points. Game three, 2-point battle against Olympiakos. Game four, slated for Thursday in at Panathinaikos. So Israel, not quite at the semifinal stage. Maccabi Haifa and Maccabi Tel Aviv are both there, whereas Hapoel Eilat and Maccabi Rishon are tied at two. Hapoel Jerusalem and Irony Irony, Naria are tied at two as well. So they're going to get to the semifinals in the next 2-3 days. Italy, who go seven games, 5-7-7. They're in the finals now. And Dolomiti, who finished fourth in the standings. They took down Armani in 5 games, 4-1. So pretty impressive victory there. And then on the other end, it's Umana, who's in the finals as well. So they were the second place team during the regular season. So it's Umana against Dolomiti, with Umana hosting game one on Saturday. Spanish finals are also set. Real Madrid going in as the top seed. Spanish, they took down Andorra 2-1, then beat Unicaja 3-3 love, and are in the final against Valencia. Valencia took down Barcelona 2-1 and then beat Baskonia 3-1. So Real Madrid and Valencia, those finals start on Friday. Looks like Barcelona might be getting rid of Georges Barsocas. You know, this is kind of getting to, which is funny because Panathinaikos is kind of like the same position. You don't really want either of these jobs right now. It's, I mean, obviously huge names and everything else, and you know there's going to be money, but, you know, kind of chaotic situations right now, both in Barcelona and Panathinaikos. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see who goes in there. Obviously, it's going to be a huge name. Keep your eyes out on Barcelona. Again, on Friday is game one, Real Madrid at home against Valencia, the 1-3 seed in the finals. And to finish it off is on Friday is also the start of the Turkish finals. And I believe those are best of seven, if I'm not mistaken. And that is Fenerbahce, who are undefeated, beat Tofas 2-0 and Dashafaka 3-0. And they're going against Besiktas, who took down Gaziantep 2-0, and then Anadolu Efes 3-1. So Fenerbahce against Besiktas, 1-2 in the finals. The little tip for those who are interested in sort of watching the future, some future stars and also the way the camp is run. Any Eurocamp is going to be streamed online, all their games, so it's going to be pretty cool. Really looking forward to checking out. I was actually going to go there, but kind of feeling ill last couple of days, and also have family here right now, and decided to kind of not go down there. Was really looking forward to it, but after a few years of not doing, of never doing it before, and really saying I'd like to do it, but couldn't do it because of other commitments. This time, actually, you know, booked things and had to cancel things and. So hopefully next year, but anyhow, Eurocamp, the Adidas Eurocamp, with some pretty good names, lots of, quite a few guys in the draft. So, those games will be on the website. So if you want to go there and check that out, that is AdidasEurocamp.com. So you can go there, and they have a live stream set up. Couple of the names, I guess, really quick. You have Isak Bonga, there's Richard Freudenberg, Martinas Ehodas, Michael Fusek, the big Slovakian kid, is interesting. Be interesting to see how Amar Gegic plays in that situation. Egemen Güven from Turkey has looked great in some situations, but hasn't been getting a lot of playing time. Karim Yalo will be there, which will be interesting to see. I know he's, you know, been really working a lot on his shots, so it'll be interesting to see how he's doing there. Imichan Krasut, the Turkish kid, 95, great shot blocker, good athleticism. Kobolka will be there. Masulias, kind of weird that he stuck in the draft. Gitas Masulias from Shagiris, he's there. Musa's there. Mashidi's there. Olinda's there. Marcel Ponik is there. And Santiago Yusta is there. That's most of the names. There's the Slovenian U-20 national team is there. And there's also two USA select teams and also a team, a next generation team, and haven't had a announcement yet for the team, for the players from that. So, and that's 2001, and I know there's going to be at least one 2002, I can imagine, maybe another or more. So again, your adidaseurocamp.com, go check that out. That should be pretty cool. To the national team, summer is actually right around the corner. The FIBA U16 Americas Championship starts actually a week from today on Wednesday, the 14th of June, in Formosa, Argentina. And obviously USA is the overwhelming favorite, having never lost in the competition, at 20-0, and they go in with a pretty solid team, it looks like. You know, these are kind of freshman sophomores that I really don't know too much about. So, you know, kind of hard for me to say, you know, definitely. But, you know that these guys are going to be, you know, coached up, and it's going to be a great situation. And you know, Showalter has a system and knows what he wants to do. They've announced their roster, and I have two interviews. I have interviews with two of those guys. And then also have a interview with actually one of the guys that I thought was going to be one of the stars of the tournament, but is ending up not actually going there. That is Addison Patterson. I'm going to probably start with him just because he's one of the bigger names outside of the States. You know, he was at the Jordan Brand Classic Global Showcase and won the MVP of that game. Had been earlier in the week, went to the BioSteel Futures game and was the MVP of that game as well. And everything looked like they were going to be going that he was going to be going to Formosa to play for Canada. And really, I think, could have given them a shot to maybe even beat the Americans. If you look at him, Cassius McNeely, who will be at the tournament, and Josh Hemmings, who was also the other two, McNeel and Hemmings, were both at the Global Showcase, Jordan Brand Classic Global Showcase as well. But both Patterson and Hemmings are not going to the under-16s in Formosa in Argentina. So kind of a weaker squad, but we'll see. Well, then those games, again, like I said, start on June 14th, so a week from today. So I'm going to start with Addison Patterson and then jump in with two guys from the American team, that being Jalen Suggs and from Minnesota, and then finishing up with Zion Harmon, a 2002 born, originally from Bethesda, Maryland, so Baltimore area, and then now in Kentucky. Didn't realize that Maryland part, so but you'll hear that in the interview. So enjoy those three interviews, and we will catch you on the other side. Again, Addison Patterson from Canada, and then Jalen Suggs from USA, from Minnesota, and Zion Harmon from Maryland. Talk to you on the other side.
All right. Maybe I guess just first of all, you kind of had a pretty impressive end start of the month, and you had a strong performance at the All Canadian BioSteel Futures game, getting the MVP there with 39 points, and then a couple of days later went to to New York, to Brooklyn, and played at the Jordan Brand Classic Global Showcase, and played strong there, winning MVPs for your team there as well, 25-8. Maybe just talk about that week for you. Maybe what kind of expectations you had going into that week, and how it, you know, I guess I would imagine kind of lived up to what you had been thinking about.
Yeah, it was great. It was just I came in both games just aggressive for the 2 weeks, and then, you know, just trying to win, and MVP came. Just it was important to keep my body ready to play for like a week straight.
You know, playing with so many high level guys, maybe what were some of the things that you kind of wanted to see as far as, you know, judging yourself against other competition that was your same, you know, pretty much your same age group?
Yeah, it was good to kind of compare myself against the rest of the world, basically, just to kind of see where I'm at. And I think I played well. We all competed.
What would you say is the biggest thing you learned, maybe especially from the Global Showcase then?
From the Global Showcase, I mean, it was just important to communicate. And I think I got better at communication because, like, not everybody speaks English there, so we have to find other ways to communicate with each other.
Just kind of the particulars, maybe where you're at height and wingspan-wise?
6'6". With a 6'7", 6'8" wingspan.
Okay. Date of birth is?
June 9th, 2001.
2001. Okay. Maybe, you know, you kind of made some headlines last November when you went up to Athletes Institute. You know, you're going there from Bishop Redding. Maybe just talk a little bit about what the biggest reason for that was, for that decision.
It was really just to improve in basketball and school, like just more attention on me, basically, and, you know, play against high level competition every day at practice. It just got me better and it made me mature, you know, being out here by myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you know, that's probably what, an hour and 15 minutes from Milton then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that for you? First time being away from home?
Yeah, it was hard to, like, be away from my family for, like, weeks at a time, but it's important to kind of, like, mature and learn how to take care of myself.
You mentioned the high-level competition. I mean, that's even just day in, day out of practice, maybe even more than some of the games that you guys were playing. Maybe what did you learn most from those guys? I mean, you're playing with pretty high-level guys with – you know, Brissett, Washington, Blair. You know, what are some of the things that you learned from those guys?
The most important thing really is to go hard every day and just find a way to get better every day at practice and at all our workouts. Just don't take any days off.
And how do you think you improved most from November till now?
I think kind of my work ethic, just getting used to working hard every day. And that's kind of getting me ready for college, just being able to wake up and grind every day.
How long you been playing basketball?
I've been playing since I was 8.
And how did you start it?
My dad used to play basketball, so he kind of brought that up, and he would just play with me outside and stuff, and he just put me in the league, and then I liked it, so I kept playing.
Uh-huh. Did he play competitively at all? Your dad?
He played in high school.
Okay. And so when you were, let's say, growing up, when you were starting in the game, who were some of the guys you were looking up to?
I look up to LeBron. I try to play like LeBron. Just be a great all-around player.
And now? Same thing, huh?
Yeah, LeBron.
When did you think that you maybe could be something special? When did you think that there was something there that, you know, if you put in a lot of hard work, that you could actually do something maybe in this game?
I think when I came into high school in grade 9 and I was playing on the senior team and I was just competing against those guys, you know, it didn't feel that hard playing against, you know, grade 12s and fifth years. So that's when I knew by the time I'm that age, I could be something special if I keep working.
And so that was how long ago?
Start of last year.
Start of last year.
My grade nine year, yeah.
Okay. You know, the OHSA, you know, it's built up in some popularity. And you know, there's a couple of schools, you know, you guys in Orangeville are getting a lot of publicity and kind of have targets on your back and stuff like that from some of the other schools and stuff like that. Maybe what was that like, you know, sort of playing, you know, let's say with a target on your back, in this case, kind of, you know, for the school, and then kind of dealing, you know, how you felt that you dealt with that pressure.
I think we dealt with the pressure good. You know, every team's gonna come with their best game against Athlete Institute and Orangeville Prep. So, you know, we got teams coming for us, but I think we handled it well.
You're from Milton. You know, maybe talk about basketball down there. You know, it's a part of you know, metropolitan Toronto that you know, maybe not many people know about. Talk about the ball down there in Milton.
You know, it's good competition. There's a couple guys coming out of Milton, like me, Christian, David, Joshua Bosco is coming up right now. So, you know, there's a couple guys coming up making the name for the city.
Is there a trait at all? Is there something that you can say that's typical Milton?
Trait typical. I think it's really the style. You know, the way you play. It's just, you know, a flashy style. Just like to have fun on the court, but also go hard.
You mentioned Kristen David. You know people know him. People, you know, starting to know you. You know, who are some of the other guys that maybe, you know, in the next 2-3 years, you know, people are going to have to take an eye and watch out for from Milton?
This is Joshua Bosco. He goes to Bishop Redden right now in grade 9. He's next up.
What do you like about him?
He's a shooter. He's crafty point guard.
You know, there's Canadian basketball is getting a lot of attention. You know, what's it like to kind of be part of this?
Oh, that's great. It's a pride thing whenever we play, especially when we go down to the U.S. and play. We have something to prove all the time. So, you know, it's just fun having to go hard every time you're on the court.
What would you say is the biggest misconception about Canadian basketball that Americans would have?
That we're soft. Americans think we're soft, but, you know, we go hard. And every time my team plays against them, we go hard and we show them.
And how much of the basketball outside of Ontario have you been able to get to know?
I know there's a lot of people from Nova Scotia, like, you know, Linda Wigginton, stuff mm-hmm. like that. There's basketball outside of Ontario, too, especially when I play with Team Ontario. You know, there was good competition. You know, Montreal, Nova Scotia, you know.
Yeah, Montreal's got a couple guys coming up, too. Lugan Stewart and a couple of guys, too. Maybe rapid fire, a couple questions here. Favorite subject in school?
Math.
Math? And your worst subject?
Worst, science.
Okay. Favorite tunes, favorite music?
Favorite music, like artist or type of music?
Either or.
I like Drake, A Boogie.
What are you listening to before the game to get you in the mood?
Before the game, I'm listening to Chief Keef, G Herbo. You know, getting me hype.
Okay. Favorite app?
My favorite app?
Yeah.
Probably Snapchat.
Snapchat, okay. One way people can tell you're still a kid?
Off the court when you play video games.
What's your go-to game?
NBA 2K.
Okay, and who are you playing?
Who am I playing?
Yeah, or what team are you? What team are you when you play?
Oh, I'm Portland.
Portland?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Damian Lillard.
Because Damian? Okay. Uh-huh. What do you think of when I say Cassius McNeely?
He's a great player. It's my bro. People think we have a rivalry or whatever. We do on the court, but off the court, that's my bro. But he's a good player.
Yeah. Obviously, you're going to most likely have a chance to play with him this summer. Come to Team Canada. Coach has been named. The training camps are going to be coming up pretty soon. Maybe you're just start off with your thoughts about expectations this summer. With you have just expectations this summer first.
So I'm very excited to put that much talent on the same team. We want to go down there and win it all.
It's Canada and USA, probably the two biggest teams down there. 2 years ago, you had guys like Chatou and Jurevic and Barrett, Iggy. They had a 20-point lead early in the second quarter, ended up losing by 17. Is that something that you guys go – obviously, it's a totally different class, but, those are some of the guys that you kind of, are growing up playing alongside of. Is that something that you guys kind of take in and say, this is something that we don't want to happen to us?
Yeah, I talked about it with guys like Iggy and RJ. We talked about it saying, they had a 20-point lead. They just got to close it out, keep going hard the whole game, kind of lay off.
What do you think you guys need to do that?
Play defense. I think offense will take care of itself on this team, but we need some hungry guys that are going to sit down and guard.
How excited are you also to line up there with Josh Hemmings? Obviously, you got to play against both him and McNeely in the Jordan brand, but to have all three of you guys go at it down in Argentina.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot of talent on that team, but especially us three, we have to be leaders on this team and lead our team to the win.
There's a pretty good chance that you're going to make it to the World Cup. Obviously, you don't want to slip up. But let's say you make it to the World Cup next year under 17. What would that mean to you to be able to play in that competition?
It'd mean a lot being able to go and represent my country in front of the whole world, just show them what we're all about and win that gold medal.
Want to ask about Twitter. The handle is Penny 05 and 6.
Yeah.
I know that's the 905 416. For those who don't quite understand that, why don't you give us a quick rundown of what that means?
It's basically just another way of pride and representing where I'm from. The 905, that's Mississauga, Milton, Brampton, and the 416 at Toronto. It's just representing where I'm from.
That you got both. That you got both in you.
Yeah, I got both in me.
Maybe what the next couple of next few weeks, whatever, hold for you now? Before you head over to Team Canada, what's up for you?
With EYBL, we're on the circuit. We got Indiana this weekend. We got, I think, Atlanta. And then, if we qualify, we got Peach Jam later. So, it's getting ready, getting my body right, keeping my skills sharp for Argentina and EYBL.
What do you want to do in the EYBL now here?
We got to win Peach Jam.
Uh-huh. What do you think about how Canadian basketball is dealing with its non-school competitions? There's the AAU circuit on the States. There's the EYBL. What do you think about how Canada's doing with all that?
We're doing well. We're putting ourselves in those type of leagues. If we don't have the competition down here, if we're better than the competition here, then we're going to go test ourselves down there. So, CIA bounced my team, already handled our business down here. So now we got to go over there and do the same thing.
All right. I'm going to let you go with that. Appreciate your time. And good luck down in Indiana and Atlanta was the other one, right?
Indiana and Atlanta.
Indiana and Atlanta. All right. Then good luck down there. Safe travels, and get back up to Canada, and go take care of your business down in Argentina, so that the world can see you guys next summer at the Under 17s.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Jalen, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Dave?
Very good. Very good. Just wanted to ask a couple questions about the Under 16. First of all, congratulations. Maybe just talk about that competition to get into a group of 12 is as good as that is.
Competition was real tough, you know, ever since we got here. Everyone's been fighting for the 12 spots and pushing their hardest every day. So you really just got to come with a frame of mind to work hard and do all the little things that the coaches are asking you to do.
What do you think you do fit in the best for how coach wants to use you?
I feel like how I can play multiple positions, one through the four, is what our coach really liked. And also, I was playing very good defense and showing a lot of energy throughout the tryouts.
Yeah, if you get after it on D, you're going to get on the court, right?
Yes, sir.
How much you've looked into the location, Formosa. I know you probably didn't know much about the city in Argentina, but have you looked at it at all, Formosa, Argentina, since you sort of got in the mix?
No. I've never really looked at it.
What do you know of Argentina, at least, then? That it's hosting the championship.
Not too much, honestly. Wait, you said, what do I know about Argentina?
Yeah, sure.
I know you speak a lot of Spanish, and I'm fluent in Spanish, so I can't wait to get down there and have some conversations with some people.
And there you go. You could actually steal some secrets, right? What they're talking about, maybe you could even pass it along to your buddies.
Yeah.
You're from Minnesota, and actually the Minnesota, you know, people might not know it, but actually put together a pretty good group of players at this tournament in the past. You have Tyus and Trey Jones, as well as Gary Trent Jr. What's it mean to represent Minnesota, have another person from Minnesota representing at this tournament?
It means a lot, not only to represent my country, but to represent my state. Like you said, not many people have been able to represent the United States from Minnesota. And so being a part of that group of three guys, it means a lot to me. And I just got to stay humble and go out there and be ready to work.
How much do you know those guys?
I know them very well, actually. I talked to Trey and Tyus a lot, and then I know Gary well, too.
Okay. I saw that you're a QB on your high school team. Is that still the case?
Yeah.
And what do you and you actually were the MVP, the offensive MVP in the IMAC last year. How was this season?
The last season was real good. We lost in the section championship, but I thought that we played real well throughout the season. You know, we really grew as a team. We have a lot of people coming back on offense too, which is really well. So can't wait to get out there with them and get ready to start the season.
So you can go to two sports then for sure. Keep going then next season then.
Yeah.
I've read obviously that your second cousin Terrell Suggs obviously played a long time with the Ravens, won the Super Bowl. What does that mean? I mean, it was just about 5 years ago, so I'm sure you experienced that a little bit. What's it mean to have that in your family?
It means a lot. You know, I call him every once in a while, talk to him. You know, give me a lot of advice on what it takes to get to the next level and all the work that you got to put in. So it's great to have him in the family. You know, he's been a great mentor, a great person. And, yeah, he's a great guy.
USA has never lost in this competition. How much do you guys think about that at all going in?
We don't really think about it too much. We really think more about going out there and playing our hardest. Like Coach always says, we're not playing against the opponent, we're playing against ourselves. So really just going out there and doing the best that we can.
What do you think that USA has to do to win this championship?
I feel like our defense needs to be excellent. There's been teams in the past, like Coach said, who they haven't had as much talent, but they bought into the defense, and that's why they've won. So as long as we can keep our defense up and create turnovers and create havoc in the backcourt, I feel like we'll win.
All right, man. Stay healthy, and good luck. Safe travels down to Argentina, and good luck there at the championship.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
First of all, just congratulations on making the team for the under-16 FIBA Americas Championship. What's it mean for you to be part of this team?
It just means that I get an opportunity to represent my country, represent my God, give all the glory to him once, and hopefully when we win the gold medal.
You were a late addition to this camp. I think it was May 24th. Coach added eight guys to the training camp to put the pool up to 32 players. This is actually then your first time with USA basketball. What did it mean for you to be picked in that selection?
It just meant for me to go to the next level as far as focus, taking care of my body on and off the court, and just knowing that when the opportunity is there, you just have to take it.
And to be recognized as in this roster, I mean, you look at the names of the players who have played in this competition, you know, there's a pretty good chance that obviously if you continue to work hard that some big things can happen. Just think about some of the names that have been in this competition and what it means to be part of that.
It just means like what it means to be part of the players.
Yeah, you look at all the players who have played in the past in this competition at the under 16.
It just basically means that right now I'm on the right path on to where my goal is, which is the NBA or wherever I land. Because all the high level players who came through here, they made the team, they worked hard through there. So long as I follow their footsteps, I should be good.
And it looks like you and Jalen Green are the only two who are a year younger at 2002. Did you have any sort of, not going to say chip on your shoulder, but anything, you know, say you're one of the younger guys and going to try to prove yourself more than the other guys at all?
No. When I step on the court, age doesn't really mean nothing to me. It just matters how you perform. So, like, off the court, they may say 2021, but on the court, you just got to, everybody's got to hoop. You got to play basketball.
What's it mean to be the first player at the under 16 FIBA Americas Championship from Kentucky?
Originally I'm from the Maryland DC area.
Ah, you're from there.
So
okay.
I'm not really. Yeah. I'm not really like.
Well, it takes that one away.
You know. Yeah. I live in Kentucky, but I'm not really like repping Kentucky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What did it mean though to win the state title? It was the first time for them. For Bowling Green?
It was huge. Very huge. Because it was, when we first came there, said that they haven't won a state tournament in the last 3 years. They've been Final Four, Championship Game, Elite Eight. And then people were saying the eighth grader's not going to get it done. But me and my dad, beginning of the year, we said we're going to make a covenant to God. And we just stuck to the covenant all year, 5 a.m. workouts, working out at the school. And we just kept on proceeding, and then he blessed us with the state championship.
And now you're heading overseas for the first time as well, right?
Yep, first time ever.
What are you looking forward to being outside the country?
Just it's going to be amazing, just the experience alone. Like, even if you leave basketball to the side, just the life experience of just being around different people, different languages, different lifestyles, see how other people live, and it can also show some benefits how blessed we are in America.
What do you think America? What do you think the USA team needs to do to win the championship?
Number one thing: no turnovers and play defense. Always play hard. We have the talent. We got the height. We got the size. We got the quickness. We just give 110%. We're doing it for God, not for man. Gold medal will come easy.
The biggest thing you've learned from the training camp already, even though it's only, not even a week old?
Say it again.
What's the biggest thing you've learned at the training camp?
Number one thing I learned at the training camp probably how the head coach, Don Showalter, said, you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's the number one thing I learned. So, like, how my body is sore right now, taking care of my body. But also, when I get on the court, even though I'm uncomfortable, I have to be comfortable, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. To have to take care of your body, for sure. Also, it's going to be five games at a high intensity in 5 days. So you're going to have to be ready physically, mentally, emotionally for that too.
Yeah.
Biggest thing you're looking forward to in Argentina? Last question.
Winning the gold medal. And by far, number one thing.
And then maybe make it to the under-17 World Basketball World Cup next year, huh?
Go
back to Argentina again.
Yep.
All right, Zion, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Stay healthy this week, and safe travels down to Argentina, and good luck there in Formosa.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, fantastic. Just kind of go back to that tournament, just to kind of give you a sort of a rundown on that. I know I didn't mention it before, but I wanted to come back to that because, you know, some of y'all might be watching that. General top four go through to the FIBA U17 Basketball World Cup next year in Argentina. If Argentina finish in the semifinals, then the fifth place team will then also go to Argentina next summer for the under-17. The two groups, Canada, Venezuela, Paraguay, Argentina. Paraguay in the tournament for the first time. Canada, obviously, the second favorite. They've reached the podium all four times, taken second place for the first time in 2015. Argentina hosts. They have a very interesting team. They actually took a trip to Europe in January, February, I think 11 games in about 2 weeks or so, Spain, Serbia, and the tournament in Turkey. So it's a pretty practiced group. If you think about, like, Canada, you know, they started their training camp, I think, on the 1st, if I'm not mistaken, and the Americans right around that time as well, you know, where they basically had tryouts from, I think the Canadians were at, no, they originally said 17. I can't remember exactly how many the Canadians were invited to the initial camp, but I know the Americans had 32 and then went down to 16 and then cut down four on Tuesday. So, and this team, the Argentina team, was in Europe together for 2 weeks playing 11 games, you know, and most of that group will be the same. So that's that group. USA with a very central basket flavor to their group. USA with Mexico, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico have kind of been fighting the last couple period sessions with the extra spot for the under-17 World Cup. Dominican Republic was there 2 years ago, last year, and Puerto Rico was there in 2014, 14, 16, yeah, 14 and 16. Puerto Rico was there in 14, and Dominican Republic was there last year. So you would think that those two are, you know, going to be favorites to go in and to the semifinals, and then maybe that the loser of those two game of that game maybe can maybe get into the to that fifth place game, take fifth place, and then also grab a spot. So I'm thinking Canada USA in final, probably USA against Argentina against USA in the semifinals. And then Canada against, Puerto Rico. I'm going to say Puerto Rico in the semifinals, and then Puerto Rico take fourth place, Argentina third. So USA, Canada, Argentina, Puerto Rico, and then Dominican Republic take fifth place. That's my, for what it's worth. Yeah. Okay. And so those teams will actually go to Argentina next year. Argentina has already announced they were going to be hosting the under 17 basketball World Cup in 2018 in Rosario and Santa Fe. So, all right. With that, I'm going to let you go. Go watch the basketball. Loads of it to take in. Obviously, NBA Finals, the big one. And so with that, thank you for listening. The last thing to let you know is what you're going to be listening to. The song is Nature Boy. It's by Harpo. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. Go check it out. Check all out that great music. We'll see you next week. Enjoy.
This is Gorgui Jang with the Senegalese national team. I'm listening, Taking a Charge.